When you're working from home, it can be so annoying when your internet's slow because the kids are doing their homework or online gaming or your other half's video calling their friends from elsewhere in the house. Drives you mad. Wouldn't it be great if you could have access to the internet with a dedicated additional broadband line just for your work, free of interruptions and with no one else using the same connection? Well, you know what? Now you can with the Home Worker Package from TalkTalk. It gives you a second super-fast broadband line into your home with average speeds of 67 megabits per second, a second router and a second Wi-Fi network, which sounds great, right? You can sign up for £26.95 a month, fixed for 24 months, and the setup is really easy, not as intrusive as you might think. In fact, it's a doddle. For more information, search TalkTalk Home Worker.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Welcome to the 4 till 7 Thing podcast. You right there, Gavin?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. As you've just found out, that is Gavin Woods, and you've joined us on the balcony of Radio X headquarters, right on top of Global Towers, here in the heart of London's West End, for a very special occasion. This is our 250th podcast. My. Gav, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
Momentous occasion. A few words.
Well, Johnny, as we look out in front of us, what do we see exactly? We see the whole of the West End of London.
Yeah, we really do.
We see Nelson proudly on the column.
It's almost like being backstage on London, isn't it? Or at the side of the stage, looking from the wings as it performs to an audience we can't see that's out there somewhere.
John, I like to think of it as God's veranda.
It really is God's veranda. But if God was backstage...
And British. Yes.
And not interested in seeing how things really look.
Absolutely
right, John. Because
he
knew that anyway.
Perfect words.
Really well summed up, Gavin.
Thank you.
A lot of you may be wondering why we've come up on the roof today. Well, we are just moments away from what promises to be a quite spectacular event. A flypast by Her Majesty's Royal Air Force in honour of our 250th podcast release. Now, we didn't realise. We knew the Red Arrows listened.
That's right, yes. We knew we were a friend to the pilot,
yes,
as a show.
Well, one of them, to several of the pilots.
Yes.
But we didn't know they'd actually choose to mark the 250th podcast in quite so, well, quite such an exciting way, didn't
we,
Gav?
It's spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
Incredible.
And the money,
honor.
The budget, Gav.
Oh,
the
I know.
Budget.
I know. Strings were pulled.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Anyway, before they arrive, let's look back at some of the remarkable things that have taken place on the 4 till 7 Thang over the last 5 years. We've had 1,240 heroes.
Wow. 456 Martins hot tap bodges.
430 hybrid bands.
390 random graffiti.
237 pet towns.
333 nicknames.
84 medical miracles.
And 54 balmy dads.
Many of those you won't have heard on the podcast, as it is an edited highlights package.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, these are incredible numbers that stack up into something that we hope will pad the time before these RAF planes arrive here in London's...
It's a quite...
West End.
Quite an event.
An event.
Isn't it, John?
It is. I can reveal... Oh, here's some more. This week's podcast will include a special guest, Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Power phone phrases.
Yeah.
And all your...
Kipper cooking tips.
Kipper tip. We had Kipper tip Wednesday.
That's right.
Gavin, again, if I could turn to you now in a bid to further get some more reaction.
Well, John, those 5 years ago when we first started, we
absolutely
all arrived here in the building, down on the ground
floor.
What
were your feelings?
Well, my feelings were...
Gav, I'm going to have to stop you because think we can hear the planes now.
Oh, here
we go. Here they go!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What have we got?
9 tornadoes from RAF Coningsby and RAF Lossiemouth flying in a diamond formation.
Unbelievable.
They are led by Wing Commander Andy Chisholm. A spectacular sight.
Unbelievable. Thanks,
there they
Andy.
Go. There they go.
Wow, they're off there towards Covent Garden.
And the city.
And the city.
Incredible.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow. These flybys are short, aren't they?
All seems a bit silly, no?
Radio X.
Gav,
yeah?
Have you ever had that problem where you bump into someone and they've actually have really achieved something?
Yeah.
Like, it's a pal of mine who's actually raced in the Grand National. He's actually been a jockey. And it's really hard once people...
Really?
Start, yes, he's...
You know someone who's raced in
yes,
the Grand
yes,
National?
Yes, and finished it.
My God.
Yes.
Wow.
It's really annoying. As an amateur as well, just a real enthusiast.
That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. but Everest has that cachet.
Yes, it does. It's quite a thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
At last, and I've met two people who've climbed Everest and not really known what to do. One of them was Brian Blessed, the other one was someone at a dinner party, and I just didn't know what to do.
Right.
Because he just got back from it. He was like really giddy.
And what can you say?
He was kind of good looking and all that stuff. You can see everyone's like, oh, what's he like on the top of the world? I was thinking, just shut up.
Just shut up. Show off.
Yeah. Show off.
Yeah. Big head.
But no, the thing was, I was sort of, it's really annoying, yeah? Because all I could do was, obviously, I won the arm wrestle. But you can't just arm wrestle them all.
No,
TJ's way.
Not all of them.
Yeah,
anyway,
even though I tend to alter my grip still in the manner of Stallone, just before I go over the top.
Nice.
I love it when he changed his grip in that film. You think,
sneaky.
Yeah, you watch this. Yeah, you watch this. Well, I did want in my car a workout thing, like, so he can work out on one arm.
One arm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
one arm workout.
Yes, yeah. Anyway. There is a way at last of getting Everest boars, unless they've been there in the 90s.
How?
Because a new study authored by scientists who've climbed almost the top of Everest themselves, they say now, remember the first time someone climbed Everest without any oxygen, without breathing apparatus, was 25 years after, so it's 1977.
Right.
Yeah, they went up in 53, didn't they? So anyway, so at that point, the maths disappeared.
Sure.
But anyway, Gav, turns out because of global warming, and here's a real mark of it.
Yeah.
It's now the summit. It's as if it was 100 metres lower.
In terms of temperature and ice and
oxygen
snow
levels.
And oxygen.
It's oxygen levels. It's effectively, that's
really?
What, that's the change in the atmosphere.
Wow.
Is the oxygen and air on the top of Everest.
100 metres.
Is like it was 100 metres below that. You know, years
that's
ago.
Amazing, just in that short time, yeah.
Yeah, so it's easy now. You can just say to them...
Anyone can do it now.
Yeah, well, come on, it's not like it was, is it?
No, everyone can do it now.
Anyone can, I mean, now there's no oxygen. It's like a lot of the ice has melted, makes it an easier climb, doesn't it?
Ah, the Sherpa kids, they run up and down it all day.
Well, yeah, but also, I know, up and down it.
Mom, can I go to the top of Everest again?
Also, the Khumbu icefall.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Khumbu.
Yeah, Khumbu, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. So the Khumbu icefall, you know about that?
Oh, yeah, everyone does, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't, do you?
No.
You're just making out.
No.
You do. Okay, fair enough. The Khumbu icefall, always say, sure. That's a good point to shore them off.
Yeah.
It's so intimidated, Hillary and Tenzing, it's virtually vanished. Well, so it's slowly receding. But if you want to get one up on that person who's engaging a dinner party.
Well, if it put them off and now it's not even scary.
It's not even scary.
Yeah.
It's not even scary. Now, they might counter by saying other parts of the mountain have become more dangerous because thaws can lead to rock falls and loosened holes. But you say, you yadda yadda them. Just go yadda yadda. Excuses.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a bit of slush.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ice before. Now it's a bit of slush. What's the deal?
Yeah.
No big deal.
And then just bang on about your mate who did it in the 90s.
You could probably jog up it now. So, it's some decent trainers.
You could. That's the main problem up there at the moment. Too many joggers. Too many joggers and triathletes.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd love to do a triathlon up Everest.
There's a burger van up the top now.
I'm going to cycle up it. Radio X. I tell you what I did. I've been watching Blacklist, which is, I think, the last box set we've got in common.
Right.
So I was watching Blacklist, which I enjoy immensely. Great news is there's an 8th series now out in the States, which means we'll be getting that soon. But Reddington, who's played by Jane Spader, and I think it is... even though sometimes it meanders a bit and it goes off point like I do.
Yeah.
It is such a... His dialogue sometimes is beyond poetic. You know, prose occasionally... You know, poetry can never be prose, but prose can sometimes be poetic.
He does that snobby yank thing brilliantly, doesn't he?
Fantastic. And so it is with Reddington. But anyway, last night, he's walking along and he's making a phone call. And I was suddenly thinking, God, I wish I could be overheard saying this. And this is what I want you to take away from this link, guys. He was walking along and he goes, Liz, assemble the task force. While he's walking down the street, I was thinking, God, I wish I could give out that line. That's so magnificent, just to be overheard. Speaking to someone going, Liz, assemble the task force. Anyway, 83936, please, any magnificent things you think is good to be overheard saying into a phone, you've got one sentence to do it. It's got to be powerful. It's got to imply that you're fully in control and talking to a lackey. And it's just got to imply there's instant action. Here we go. This is Mac from the royal town of Sutton Coldfield.
Okay.
He says he wants to just go along and go, yeah, send it to my account in Zurich. Gav, you've got to get into character and do this. Come on, do the next one. Don't mess it up, Gav.
Okay, so anything overheard with the word terminate in it, i.e. that's an affirmative. Terminate. That's from Ed of Mankland.
Okay, turn the volume up and you're going to do that now, Gav, properly. That's an affirmative. Terminate. Here we go. And.
That's an affirmative. Terminate.
Good one, Gav. That was really nice.
Muscular.
Okay, this is Mike. Mike's walking along.
Go on.
Ready the jet. Thanks, Mike. This is a really good one.
Okay, I'll do this one. Okay,
go on. Get ready. You got to get find the music, though, Gav.
Linda, get Warburton on the line for me. These crumpets are a bloody joke.
That's good. Okay, this is really good. This is from Andy at work. Are you ready? Activate the oven. Thanks for that.
Oh, I've got another one here. Go on.
This is a beauty. This is Philip of British Leyland.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. Okay. He says,
okay, Barrington, it's time. Saddle up my horse. It's time for the big dogs to play.
Yeah, this is really... I'll tell you what's really good. David Livingston fully gets this. He just wants to walk along and go, release the hounds. Here's another one. God damn it, Clive. We're going to have to outsource this to the bloody Swiss again. Okay, this is really good. I'm having this.
Go on.
Defo.
Go on.
Hi, TJ. I would die a happy man to say either, take the shot. or, you can do the second one.
Set up a perimeter.
That's really good. Set up a perimeter. Only people who are very powerful do that. That's from Mac Hutley. Thank you very much. Paul the driver says he wants to be seen walking along and he's just over her going, should we tell the president? Which is really good. I would say no.
Andy's got a great one here. China's waking up in 30 and the Russians are losing patience. This needs to happen now.
This needs to happen now. Thank you so much.
The Russians are losing patience.
Yes. It's really good. And lastly, Ray says, engage doomsday protocol. Sorry. Engage doomsday protocol. In case that sounded like Doomsdale.
Beautiful.
Sounds like the grimmest sort of place in Yorkshire. Doomsdale.
Doomsdale.
Yeah. The Doomsdale.
Nobody goes up there anymore.
Oh, I said he's got a Doomsdale device.
It's not been many years since anyone's gone up there.
Engage Doomsday Protocol. Thank you so much.
The mainstream education system is great. But what if you need a more flexible approach? Well, that's where Interhigh can help. We're the UK's leading online school, using technology and qualified teachers to create a truly engaging educational experience. From primary school age through to A-level, we're a school community that everything we do is online. So wherever life takes you, there's no need for switching schools. Start learning this January on one of our easy half-termly contracts. Register now at interhigh.co.uk. School is changing. Rediscover learning with Interhigh, the independent online school.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I've just been reading about something that I think is about the biggest racket in the history of research. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can see what they're up to here, and I'm going to get involved. I'm really, I sort of regret not being part of this. Are you ready, Gav?
Go on.
What they've discovered, these scientists in Denmark or somewhere.
Copenhagen, you said earlier.
Is it Copenhagen, yeah? What they've discovered is that champagne and oysters, they go together.
Right.
Because there's something in the flavour. Scientists believe they've cracked the secret of why champagne and oysters pair well. Do you know why?
Why?
Chemical synergy. Yeah, it's been a long year testing. We decided we'd want to find out something. We really want to solve one of Earth's problems. And the problem, yeah, the problem we want to look at is why the oysters go so well with champagne.
With the champagne.
Yeah. Sorry, that's Swedish, but I don't really know Danish accent. So the reason is, and this is the, do you want the research they did before this was?
I just shut, go on.
They wanted to know why bacon went so well with eggs.
I was just going to ask. Yes. I was just going to say.
Hang on a second. There's a pattern here. What they've done is they've moved on to lunch.
Have they done steak and chips yet?
No, that's the evening meal. Yeah. They started off with bacon and eggs. They've had some oysters and champagne for lunch. They're moving through. Why red wine is so good with a lovely piece of steak. I mean, it's how do they get away with this as a research guy?
Oh, my God.
These combinations benefit from a duplication of savory tastes. What gets me about this, Gav?
Go on.
Well, it's we don't need to know why particularly.
Not really, because we know it does.
It just
works.
That's
the important bit.
And I can't stand science that just exists to prove something humans have known for quite some time. What happens then is they know they're going to get in the papers.
Yeah.
You know, it's that a bird in the hand really is worth.
Right. Yes.
Big feet really does mean.
A stitch in time.
Really does say big shoes really do mean.
Yeah, yeah. They love that stuff.
I mean, I was tempted this year to submit, your face really will stay like that when the wind changes. No, to prove that in certain cold winds, when it blows, cellular memory.
Lighthouse keepers have a certain face.
Your face that literally will return to that shape.
Yes.
If there is the right kind of breeze. You think, the wind changes, you really will change like that. As has been discovered by Lighthouse. They compared the faces of lighthouse keepers in places of changeable wind with those with non-changeable. You're thinking, this research is going to happen any second.
And they all had a resting wince face.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, exactly.
From the wind.
Have you watched The Lighthouse yet?
No, not yet, but I'm going to.
Has any of you watched it?
No.
Oh, it's a treat.
Haven't.
It's an absolute treat.
We need to research, Johnny, what it would be like to live with a Lambo.
Yes.
Because I believe that a Lambo and driving goes together.
Yeah. I mean, do you get more respect from, say, doormen or the concierges of hotels?
Yeah.
If you roll up in a Lambo with an incredibly glamorous woman in the passenger seat.
That's right, yeah.
No, that's a sort of research I might...
We need to look into it.
I've got to look into that, yeah. Anyway, identify... It's all to do with umami, Gav, which was identified by a Japanese researcher in 1908.
Yeah.
Umami, which in Japan, it's forbidden for a woman to use the word umami.
You're kidding.
No, only men can say it.
Wow.
Women have a different word for the same thing, because the word umami is too manly.
It's too manly.
It's
too saucy.
Crazy. It's too saucy, yeah. It's often described as being found in rich meaty foods as well as yeast extracts. So Marmite's got it. It's the fifth taste, umami.
Yeah, after sweet and sour. And
lobster's big on it. You can't describe it. It's more of a sensation. Anyway, the flavour is enhanced by the combination of glutamic acid and nucleotides from the breakdown of muscle tissue, just in case you need to, you know, just take that, just cross the knowledge threshold a bit.
Sure.
Sometimes I find I've run out after the bit I've done on air, and people sort of say, well, so tell me more about that. I think, no, you've heard it.
That's it.
There's no more. Anyway, Gav, I can't believe these Danes are getting away with it.
Champagne.
No, it turns out because there's a sympathetic taste.
Oh, of course, yes, chemist.
It turns out the reason they taste good is they go well together. Radio X. Every single day of the week, right here on the 4 till 7 thing, a man like the Woodman furnishes with a hero. Today is no exception. Sorry, I'm slightly giggling at all your power statements you want to be overheard saying on the phones, and because some funny ones keep coming in. Just hold back a little bit, because I've got to focus now. We've all got to focus on the hero. Then we can have more fun with power statements a little bit later. But right now, just hold back, everyone. Yeah, I'm excited as well. Go on, Gav.
Okay, so the hero today, Johnny, is Richard Wilbank of Estoros in Florida. He's 74 years old. And this is a story from last month that's been doing the rounds this week.
Why is it only in the paper today? I was going to do this
footage of it.
Yeah, I was going to do this as a story today.
Right.
Because I've got some hero stuff, but now you've taken it.
I had to. It's too heroic.
Oh, no.
So Richard was out walking last month with his 3-month-old Cavalier King Cocker Spaniel puppy called Gunner.
A Cavalier Cocker? You can't have those, can you?
I don't know. Cavalier King Cocker. So, I don't know. That's what's that? 5 or 6 breeds in one?
I don't know, Gav. I don't know. My dad has Cavaliers. I can't stand them.
Right.
I actually hate the little things.
Anyway, little Gunner, the puppy, was off the leash, darting around here and there when he got near a large pond. An alligator, according to Richard, this is how Richard described it. He just, quote, came out of the water like a missile, grabbed Gunnar and went right back in the water with him.
Do you know, I almost wish that would happen while I was walking Jeff around Clapham Common, one of the ponds.
I don't think an alligator could take Jeff.
I just want to punch an alligator around.
I know.
I've always wanted to do it.
It's just a rite of passage for any man, isn't it?
I just think uppercut might work.
Definitely. Especially one in the ribs.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful, Gav. What a body blow. Body shots.
So the video footage just shows him fighting in a lake. And you can't see what he's fighting. And then he pulls out, well, he's quite a young alligator. Right. Well, you wouldn't want to fight it.
No, but you wouldn't want to fight it.
It's not a fully, it's not like a massive alligator, but it's got Gunnar in its jaws.
Man.
So he carries the pair of them to the bank after wrestling with them.
Yeah.
And he opens the gator's mouth and lets Gunnar go, who runs off.
Wow.
So the best thing about this, Johnny, is throughout this entire fight. He then fights the alligator, trying to stop it biting him.
No, what happens after
and
the
dog's
gone?
And then he throws the gator over a fence. Yeah. The dog was treated. It had a couple of bite marks.
Okay.
It spent a couple of nights in the vets.
Okay.
Which in America is probably, I don't know, $30,000-$40,000. And then he was fine. And so has Richard Wilbur. He had a couple of scratches.
But where's the alligator gone? Over the fence?
Alligator got thrown over a fence.
What happens then to that? What happens
well, there's
over
loads
the
of alligators everywhere in Florida.
I know, but what happens over the fence? What's
I
over
don't
the fence?
Know. I don't no, know. Maybe he figured now he's not so close to where I walk Gunner.
That could be like some pensioners playing gin, you know, right over there in like floral shirts, just like sitting there going, hey, what's going on here? Hey, who's throwing alligators around here?
Who's throwing alligators?
Hey, quit throwing alligators here.
Do you mind? Mate,
yeah. Maybe it could have been some like wise guys there.
That's a good point, and you don't want to do that.
Could have been like Fat Andy,
yeah,
and like
Big Paul,
Joey Eyes, something like that.
But none of this is the most heroic part, Johnny. The most heroic part is that Richard Wilbank, age 74, kept his cigar stuck in his mouth throughout the entire incident.
That's still
had it. I don't know if it was a, what did you tell me? A Cohiba Double Corona. Is that the nicest cigar you can get?
It's what Fidel Castro smokes.
It must be the absolute Cohiba Don of cigars.
Cohiba is the only post-revolutionary cigar house, and they get dibs on all the best tobacco leaves. All cigars are made in the same, like, two factories.
Right.
But Cohiba get the best. They only actually make four of the cigars they purport to make,
right,
one of which is the Double Corona, which Fidel smokes. I think the other's the Esplendino.
Well, I suspect Richard Wilbanks was a good'un.
I expect so,
because he kept it. Richard Wilbank.
The Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing. Why? We salute you. Thank you so much, Woodman. That was superb. Kept the cigar clamped in his mouth.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful, man.
Yeah. I'm a busy guy. Sure. Everyone knows that. Sure. But you know what? That comes at a price. Every time I've got an important delivery, I miss it. And that makes me mad. Fortunately, there is a solution. With Ring Video Doorbell, you'll always know what's happening at your door, day or night. You can see, hear, and speak to visitors right from your smartphone and tablet using the Ring app or using your Alexa smart speaker. That means whether you're in the gym working out, competing at Ironman competitions, or just taking part, like me, in highly secretive operations overseas, you'll never miss a delivery again. Plus, and I didn't know this, Ring have security cams and a whole home alarm system to protect the rest of your home. I know it's going to change my life. Make sure it changes yours. Learn more at ring.com.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
This is the 4 till 7 thing, absolutely on Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. White over there is the Woodman. Gav, Big Side presides. Little Simon's operating all the machinery. We've got a guest now, ladies and gentlemen, a big one.
A real one.
He's one of the only guests I can say is a big one on Radio X, which is a firmament of big ones.
Yes.
You right? We have got a rock and roll star, godlike, rasta, icon, legend, biblical, omnipresent, prophet, spiritual, majestical, celestial, optimistic, Buddhistic, Jedi, approachable, Zen lover, humble. Ladies and gentlemen, it can only be one man. Andy Peters. Ladies and gentlemen, Liam Gallagher!
Hi, Liam.
Yeah.
You're right, Liam, how are you? You're right, Liam.
Yeah, I'm buzzing, mate. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, really nice to hear from you as well. How's lockdown treating you? What have you been up to?
Right, obviously, you know, I'm very lucky and that, a lot luckier than a lot of other people and that, but, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you've got, it's still been
Yeah, absolutely.
And
right.
It don't matter how big your house is or how many parkers you've got or how many, you know, pairs of Adidas trainers you've got.
I disagree with the parkers.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, but there's nowhere to wear them, is there? You know what I mean? They're just staring at me looking like, go on, you taking yourself for a walk or what? But so, no, it's a nightmare.
For me, parkers are just, they remain the best mirror coat.
Yes, yeah.
They just go, I can't be doing short jackets. No, you can't. I hate a short jacket. I can't stand it.
Where you can see your belt and all that sack, and you can see your phone and your coins and your fidgety doodah.
Yeah. Not into that. Oh, no, I can't stand that, man. That's enough of our lockdown, rockdown small talk. Let's discuss your new single, All You're Dreaming Of, which is out now. Tell me about it. How'd it come about? What's the deal?
Right, so me and Simon Aldridge put that one together. Jordy, after at the beginning of the lockdown, he sent me some ideas for it, and then I sent him back a few bits, and then I had a little studio built in me, like a little, just a thing so I could do vocals and stuff.
Yeah.
I had that put in my house, so I did the vocals there.
Where is that in the house? Where is that? I'm just worried now.
It's just in the room, isn't it?
Okay. And right. It's absolutely pro. You can let yourself go in there, is what I mean.
I did it in my boxing shorts. But anyway, let me tell you the story. So we got this tune down right here, and then we go to Abbey Road in the lockdown. Loads of people with masks on to do the brass and do all the horns and all that stuff. Yeah. So I do the vocals in Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And we're nowhere near, so we're taken back. They're nowhere near as the ones that I did in the house in my boxer shorts.
Are
so,
they? No, they weren't.
I've used them. I've been in the Abbey Road vocals and used these ones. So, yeah.
What a waste of everyone's time, eh?
Well, yeah, well, we got the strings down and the brass and that, so never mind.
No, they should have all done it in their boxer shorts round at yours. Definitely.
Exactly.
Been a lot more festive.
Well, exactly. But yeah, no, so we did it in lockdown and, been sitting on it since, and it's a tune, man. I love it.
When you're singing in boxer shorts, do you find the sound comes from a different place?
Yeah. Comes from the rear end.
Okay, yeah. You can harness that. Okay.
Next time you're in a big studio, just when you're doing vocals, just start taking your trousers off.
This is it, man. Imagine if I did that in Abbey Road, man. It locks up.
Okay, do you know what? We're gonna hear it, Liam. This is All You're Dreaming Of. This will raise money for Action for Children, is that correct?
Well, it will if people buy it, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. We're giving the proceeds to the charity because I've got enough.
You make me laugh, man, every time. Every time you make me laugh.
I've got far too much.
Okay, I'd like if, as you're talking, you got like one of those money counters, like in Scarface, just right beside you, and just at that moment it stopped, and you went, "I've got enough." Okay.
Yeah, I just looked over at me gold Damien Hirst, Hirst collection, my Andy Warhol collection, man. I've got it off.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what? Let's get it on. Here's Liam Gallagher. All You're Dreaming Of on Radio
X. Come on.
Go on.
You'd be expecting a rock and roll tune there now, wouldn't you?
Paint the night sky while the morning waves. All your dreaming now.
Oh, man, it's Christmas, Gav.
Oh, that'll tickle the feels.
That really will, won't it?
It really will.
Quite a bit misty-eyed there. That's it. How about that? Very, very, very Christmassy.
It's a classic, man. There's no need for cheese, man. There's no need to be writing cheesy Christmas songs like all the other nonsense that's out there at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can keep it real and be cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's got it all. It's Christmassy. It's warm. There's a feeling of coming together with it. I like it, Liam. Yeah, I like it.
It really builds at the end with all the strings and the brass.
I know. Do you know what, though? When you hear the strings, you could tell that they're not wearing boxer shorts.
That's right.
But you can... The singers...
Oh, no, they are wearing masks. Come on, let's keep it. But yeah.
You can tell
it was done in Abbey Road as well and not in my house.
Yeah, you can. It's just got that slightly richer, more. Yeah, it's got that Abbey Road sound. Liam, will you hang around with us for a bit?
There's nowhere else to go. There's nothing going on, is there?
No, there is none. I've got you now. Little Simon has a tease for the next tune we're going to hear. Little Simon.
Okay, so the next song we're going to play is by a band whose anagram is I Cry Fob Fly.
So,
there we go.
I'm crying Fob Fly? I cry?
What?
Fob Fly. Liam, any ideas?
No, God, not.
I cry? Fob Fly? So, a fob flies, I cries.
No.
I cry Fob Fly.
I cry.
Oh, I have been a Biffy Clyro.
Yay! Come on! You've given it away now.
Is that who it was? Is it Biffy Clyro?
Yes, of course I'm Biffy. This is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. You've lucked into the 4 till 7 thing. The Woodman's here, right, Woodman?
Yeah, really good.
The big Woodman, sorry. The big size here. Little Simon's here. And Liam Gallagher's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Liam. Woo!
Hello, everybody.
You're right, our kid. So
I am, mate. I'm hanging in there.
A couple of questions before we talk about this live event you've got coming up. First of all, can you recommend me any box sets I've finished Netflix?
Right, I watched that. I watched Thingy Guy Ritchie's new film the other night. That was decent.
Okay.
What other box sets I've been watching? I'll tell you what I watched. That's
what?
Got right at the beginning. Poldark.
Is it any good?
The new one.
Poldark.
No,
interesting.
The old one. No, this was the old one.
Oh right. Okay. What, the really old 1970s one?
No. The one just last year.
Okay, I was going to say this. If they're re-showing that one, where they come in, and it's always.
It was the recent one, but it's good, man.
Okay,
watch that.
Okay, I've got down here. No music is as good as yours, Liam. We know that, but have you enjoyed anyone else's recently?
No, not really. No.
Okay, fair enough. Is there anything that is making you really? I'm a massive TV shouter. Is there anything else that's making you shout at television? Anything particularly driving you crazy?
Everything about this vaccine and all the whole thing, man, is just, you know, it's just pain in the ass, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, excuse the pun and that, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's just get on with it. Come on.
Yeah, that's making me shout. It's making me shout a bit.
It's making me shout, man. I'm going to, you know, yeah, I'm shouting at it.
Okay. And last thing is, before we talk about your gig, is as soon as lockdown ends and you're allowed to, you will come and visit us in the studio to spread a bit of cheer, right?
Of course.
Because we can have a coat off.
Mate, don't go there.
Seriously, if you do come down, you better come with it, yeah.
Because I'll bring a suitcase up. I will make you ill.
We'll have a Zoolander style coat off.
Right, best of five.
Yeah. Okay, best of five, all time best five jackets. Yeah,
okay.
All time best.
Are we going back into the vault?
Yeah, you can go back in the vault. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a la mode. But I'll tell you, I'll pit my best five against yours.
Okay, right. Well, you are on, my friend.
Okay, and no own brand. It's all got to be out there, yeah? Otherwise, you might have some sneaky exclusives.
What do you mean, no own brand?
You can't do anything you've actually designed. It's got to be stuff you've bought out.
No, I won't wear anything I've designed.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, here we go. That's a condition, though, yeah? But be ready, because I'm going to hand out a beating.
Wait, you're going on in an ambulance, son.
So seriously, if you come here, you better book a private ambulance, yeah?
I'm telling you, mate.
Yeah? The ones with no windows, yeah?
This is exciting.
Yes. Yeah, it is. You
send
wait,
you
mate.
Off to the dressing room
in the
sky.
This is going to be massive. Yeah. Best five. Can I just tell you something? You better come with it, yeah? You better come with it, because I'm going to bring it on, and I'm going to get her down.
Right, you wait. I've got sweat on in here, man.
I am. I'm sweating. I'm sweating at the prospect. Okay, here we go.
Right, we're in.
Okay, Saturday, December the 5th, people will be able to see a one-of-a-kind virtual live event. Liam, tell us about this. This is when you went down the Thames, isn't it?
Yeah, so we went down the Thames. We hired this big barge out, and we've done a gig, and it sounds filthy. I thought it'd sound rotten and that, you know what I mean, but I thought it sounded really naff and stuff, but it's one of the best gigs I think I've ever done.
You've given the world some gig. I take that really seriously.
Seriously, I thought it'd be a nightmare, and like, you know, we'd have to abandon it and that. But for some reason, when we were on the river or on the Thames, and that, the sound was just like still, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, well, sound travels across water, and it must be.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It looks good as well.
So this is down by the River Thames. It's going to be streamed globally, exclusively on Melody VR.
It is indeed.
Okay, there we go.
That was great.
Do you like that? I thought I'd give it a bit of an extra.
I lost my mind there for a second.
I bet you did. We all did. So this is a set with a full band broadcast from a barge travelling along the Thames. Looking forward to it immensely. That's Saturday, December the 5th. It's a one-of-a-kind virtual.
The best thing about this gig, Johnny, it's not unplugged.
Oh, thank
it's plugged.
God for that.
You can actually hear the amps.
Oh, Christ, I hate, I hate unplugged.
Oh, mate, I hate rip it. Oh, yeah, we're not doing any. Imagine doing that on a river. I might be. Lockdown.
Well, just lock. Just, do you know what? Unplugged, anyways, is never good.
Bad enough as it is getting the acoustics out.
All it reminds you is why they invented electricity, right?
Exactly.
So it's just, for me, unplugged, Stone Age. Yeah? Stone Age.
For hippies, man. For hippies.
Yeah, they're hippies. Never trust a hippie, ladies and gentlemen. Always trust Liam Gallagher. Exactly. Thank you very much, Liam, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Liam. Yes, thank you.
And now, like you, rock and roll star. Thank you so much, our kid. You take care, matey.
And you, brother, seen a bit.
It's Black Friday on eBay. And with up to 50% off, what's not to love? Love Christmas shopping in your PJs?
Black Friday on eBay.
Love a tech refurb deal?
Black Friday on eBay.
Then you'll love eBay's up to 50% off Black Friday. Buy, sell, eBay.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Good afternoon to you. Sorry, good evening to you. We don't do afternoons till the summer, yeah?
No, that's right, yeah. Winter, it's all evening.
It's just all evening. It's been all evening, all day. Okay, Gav, I'm really in the doghouse today. If you wonder why I've had to even shave my head and beard. It was part of the forensic clean-up operation. I decided to cook some kippers.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I forgot, it's like dealing with something nuclear in the kitchen. So
they have an odour half-life of 99 years.
It's like everything they touch, everything. You've got to remember where you've been. I'm watching Blacklist at the moment, which is a series which is very big on disposal of bodies.
Okay, right.
You know, and the procedure, the bleach, the
clean
gloves.
Up.
They've
yeah.
got a real expert on it called Mrs. Kaplan.
Right.
Sorry, Mr. Kaplan is actually a woman.
Right.
Who our hero calls in to clear up everything.
Like Harvey Keitel.
Yes, yeah. yes. A bit like, yeah, exactly right. That's a much better example.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Why didn't I think
Winston
that?
Wolf, yeah.
Mm, yeah, so today I Winston Wolfed it.
Did
much
you?
Better. Yes. I Winston Wolfed it down.
Oh,
the whole kitchen, yes. Yeah, so I've used a technique this time because of the riot that ensued last time when I put it in the grill. And which still means, even when we have sausages or anything, there's still the tang of kipper.
The hang of fish.
It just contaminates
sausage.
Everything. It's an oven. I did have the courtesy to use an oven. I've got two ovens there. Well, three with the microwave. You got three ovens, you tell people. And I put it.
Haven't you got a kipper oven?
No, I haven't got a kipper. I should do. Anyway, so this is what I did. I put a bit of milk and a bit of water in a pan, boiled it up,
yeah.
and then just placed the kipper in there.
And steep
then
it. Yeah.
I used my onion chopping board. Mm. I've got a little one of those ones that folds up so you can pour it easily in the pan.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had it years. It's a dear old thing.
It works.
It's a dear old thing.
Yeah.
I've rescued it from the bin several times when, you know, fastidious cleaners have decided its days are over.
Enough, yeah.
Poor old thing. I've had to rescue it. Anyway, so I put that on to hold the kipper down in there.
Yeah.
And then the trouble started. As I moved that pan,
yeah.
I'd forgotten a bit of it was a bit hot. I went, ow,
yeah.
the kipper water
splashed.
Sprayed over the kitchen.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I put it down the drain. I poured Domestos down the waste disposal, not on, you know, kept the kipper separate.
Did you call the police?
I was trying to, no, but I was getting my head at eye level to see wherever the kippery meniscus had gone, you know, see any traces of milky kippery. And the milk was much more clingy. So I clean out the pan, domestic sound the thing, washing out liquid in there. I'm not kidding. I was going around, then I put the, I had this.
It's like CSI in there.
It really was. I sprayed down the surface, but there's still bits. For some reason, I could smell some.
Yeah.
But that had gone underneath the salt.
Cellar.
No.
Container.
No, it's called something. It's like a coal scuttle, but for salt. Small
salt pig.
No, it's not a salt pig.
It is. That's what those things that hold salt are called.
No, this is like, it's made by Le Creuset. It's one of the ones with a little wooden spoon.
Ah,
a salt.
Cochon de sel?
No, not cochon du sel. No, it wasn't a cochon.
I really hope it is.
I put it in a scribbling tray, which I'd reserved for when I was just muddling my shallots. No, anyway, so I muddled the shallots in a scribbling dish.
After skimming the scrivening surface.
Yeah, scriven until thoroughly chamfed.
Emulated.
Chamf your mushrooms in a scrivener's bowl. Or anyway, Gav, the point is...
Yeah.
I smelt so badly when it came shower time.
Yeah,
I got it in my hair and my beard. I just kept tasting kipper. I thought I've actually got to shave my head because I've still got kipper. This is the most elaborate.
You need to be dipped like a sheep.
I do. I really do. It's awful.
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing. I'm in the doghouse today, having really made the flat stink of kippers. Loads of people sending in some lovely tips, but some that don't really help me at all. The Woodman did say that those sort of things you put salt in, have a spoon, are called a pig. He's right.
I know. It said so. I wasn't sure. So
it's called a salt pig.
Yeah, salt pig. Well, although we have got one. Nick is tweeting us saying it's called a pinch pot, which is quite good as well.
I like pinch, but it is essentially a pig. I was wrong. I was wrong to chastise you, Gav. I just thought you were throwing it in there, namely, but it did turn out.
Now all you need is a butter horse.
There's no such thing as a butter horse. There's no such thing as a butter horse. Gav.
Yeah.
Does your kitchen still smell like a fishing trawler then? Yes, it does.
It does.
It really does.
Smoked fishing trawler.
They've been catching smoked herring. Hey, TJ, kipper containment in my house, wrap it in foil, stick it on a barbie, never cook kipper indoors. I would, a big palaver for two kippers for one guy.
Mm.
It's fair enough if you're cooking, you know. Thanks very much for that. And Lee from Brentford, I'm surprised at not mentioning the mighty Chelsea's result last night. I know, it's fantastic. What an amazing thing.
What happened? I don't know the score.
Well, it was a really good last minute goal to get us back in after we let them back in, and 2-1.
By Giroud.
Giroud, yeah. And really classy as well. Right where you want to stick them. Beautiful.
Nice.
My wife cooked kippers in the old microwave last year. God, the smell!
Schoolboy era.
We recently replaced the microwave. I swear I can still smell it. What, in the new one?
Yeah.
I like that. Any kipper tips, please? Your kipper tips. So many good kipper tips coming in.
Great kipper tips.
Loads of kipper tips. Johnny, apparently if you put a good-sized dollop of peanut butter in the frying pan when cooking fish, it will absorb the smell. Bicarb is meant to get the smell off your hands. Paula in Warrington. Paula, sober, lucid, sensible. Thank you so much. That's all I ask for in a text. It's not, but that's just Paula. Beautiful work. How about this, guys? Put a cup of water with lemon slices in your microwave and turn on for 3 (ish) minutes. That gets rid of the smell of the hashtag Kipper Tip Wednesdays. Thanks, John. That's a kipper fun. Kipper fun for Newcastle. This is really good. This is Phil at his very best. Go on, Gav, you do this because you're very much, well, you're from the catering industry.
Okay, so Phil says, kipper tips, pan with lid, cook, eat outside on pain of death, with a nice bit of bread and butter.
Essential.
I always order kippers for breakfast in a hotel to, quote, mark my territory.
You know, I always do it as well. And if they've got kippers on the menu and they tell
you... Even if they haven't, in your case.
No. The kippers were on the menu. They just said, we're not serving them anymore. That's right. When I'll go in the kitchen and see
and
the
Jedi
chef.
Them. Yeah, yeah.
You just go and see the chef.
Yeah.
All chefs love a kipper.
They do, yeah.
Because essentially they've got someone else to clear up the mess.
And they're really easy to cook.
Yeah, they're really easy to cook. They're tasty.
Yeah.
And you can kid yourself it's actually healthy because of the omega-3.
Oh, man.
And, there were some good old kippers today. I think it's absolutely delicious. They were Scottish, not Manx. Doesn't matter, though. Hey, TJ, Biff here.
Biff Kotek, the Moffat man.
Yeah. Kipper tips, because it is Kipper Tip Wednesday. So thanks for all your kipper tips. Buy that fresh kipper from your local fishmonger, walk it straight out of the shop and throw it right back in the ocean. Free the kippers. Plus they taste rank. Thanks for that.
I'm with Biff. I don't like kippers.
Don't you like your kipper?
No, I don't like
little
kippers.
Side, you like your kipper?
Nah.
What?
Nah, he doesn't like
it. Okay, can I just say, if I ask you a question like that, yeah? It's a real chance to get in with me. That is. No, it really is.
He's trying to ruin your day.
No, but you should be at your sort of most obsequious at those moments. And you should say, yo, I love them, sir.
Choose your words wisely, young Simon.
Seriously, don't just go, nah. I really set you up then to, you know, to curry a bit of favour, to strengthen ties, bridge some gaps. You didn't take it, did you? No, you didn't.
Yep.
Can I just say, top tip for when your partner moans about how kippers will make the house smell, ask them to open a packet of wafer-thin ham and breathe in the aroma whilst you cook.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Just to say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, which this year is in Wales. Mm. Strikes me as it's not that big a breakthrough. I mean, that's celebrities being in Wales and saying, get me out of here, that's just showbiz. It's been going on for years. I mean, look at Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Hollywood, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just showbiz.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're famous, you're in Wales, you want to get out of there.
Tom Jones.
Yeah, there's nothing, I just don't see what format they've added to reality. But let's brush that aside.
Sure.
They have been there's worries that were expressed yesterday, which I told you about, about these cockroaches that are scuttling around that are not native to Britain.
Oh, so they've bust them in.
Chris Packham has now waded in. He says it's putting the Welsh countryside at risk. Cussie, this is those cane toads in Australia. This is the parakeets we've got. This is the terrapins that they've had to get out of. This is grey squirrels. This is how it starts. Someone thinks, oh, I'll just stick them in here as a bit of a novelty. It won't matter.
I'll just bring a couple of rabbits to Australia.
Right. Cut to lazy runner at the end of the show. Okay, have you tidied those up? You better hurry, Steve. All the lager's going in the green room. Yeah. And suddenly that runner's going, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just pack that up.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly Wales, boom.
Yeah.
There's only one thing. Get the celebs out, napalm it.
Yeah.
Radio X.
When have you said something weird, stupid, or obvious to an animal? Have you engaged in what is ultimately a one-way conversation? I disagree with that.
Yeah, because there's communication within the experience.
Oh, no, Jeff raises a fat eyebrow.
He's got eyebrows
like in the biggest caterpillars on Earth. Sort of a bit greatly white caterpillars, a fat thing. You barely see any eye. It's like a hippo.
But his face is no less expressionless than Ted Bovis's.
No, he's got a bit more than that. Although bulldogs, Gav, unhappily, most dogs are capable of 120 different facial expressions.
Right.
But bulldogs are only capable of 50.
Is that right?
Yes, and all of them seem to be built around, I'd say, just looking at you with greater intensity to beg for food. That's it.
Variations on that.
That's it.
More food,
yes,
please.
Variations face. On a theme. That's it. I've just gone. No, he looks like whistle. What about me? But sometimes, I don't know if you're a dog owner and you get this, but when I'm cooking sometimes, it drives me mad.
Is he behind your legs, though?
You cannot be so hungry, Jeff!
Not again!
No, but I'm trying to move around up and down that Kelly kitchen. He's just inside my legs.
Yeah.
And he's just moving in there. I'm like, Jesus, you're going to kill me!
All in the quest for food.
No, but he's just there. And he's like, no! There's nothing that's going to... Nothing happens at this end of the kitchen. Do you know that, Jeffrey? Which I shouted him.
Of course.
He followed me to the sink. He knows nothing happens down that
There's
end.
Nothing in the sink.
He knows all the actions down towards the fridge.
Fridge end, yeah, of
Anyone
course.
Knows that.
And the cupboards. Yeah,
anyway, when have you said something weird, stupid, or obvious to an animal? Have you engaged in what is ultimately a one-way conversation? Can I just say a massive happy birthday to Jeffrey for the 19th was his birthday. He had a lovely day.
Happy birthday,
He had a great walk
Jeffrey.
With my daughter and one of her mates. They took him out on the common and he had a really good sniff around and apparently had a lovely day. He might not have been aware it was his birthday, but everyone else was, so that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Last time we did this pet segment, we heard about Lauren and Yuki, whose guinea pig, Jeremy, has an attitude problem. She told him if he continued to speak to her in that tone, there'd be no more carrots for the foreseeable.
The foreseeable's brilliant.
It's fantastic. Here's a few more we've had in. We've had Dylan of Carlisle. He says, I'm forever telling Colin. It's the only reason that anyone should buy an Alsatian is just to call them Colin.
Oh, beautiful.
Especially if you have pictures of it with just Colin underneath. Which is the reason I call my bulldog Jeffrey.
Why?
Because I saw these pictures of bulldogs at the breeders' place, and they all had their name underneath.
Okay.
And all these sort of very grand names. And they're all sort of looking sort of majestic. It's just a headshot.
Aristocratic.
Well, it was just a headshot, and I just thought underneath that just to say, Jeffrey. Which is Jeff. Anyway. I'm forever telling Colin, my miniature schnauzer, to pull himself together and play it cool whenever he sees a lady dog, as he just loses the plot every time. That's brilliant.
Play it
Saying
cool.
to a miniature schnauzer, Colin, play it cool.
Keep it cool, Colin.
God's sake. They're not going to fall for those antics.
He's so eager.
Yes. Play it cool. Go on, Gab, what do you got?
This is from Gemma in Manchester. She says, I told my golden retriever, Perry, that I was pregnant before I told my husband.
That is a great name for a golden retriever. I met one this morning in the park, actually.
Did you?
Really fat golden retriever.
They get quite fat sometimes.
Yeah, just really
they?
Greedy. Just came over just looking for food. I'm thinking I've got nothing. Right. Yeah. I've got an iced tea.
Yeah.
But even that was quite good. You've got something.
We used to have a park retriever and he would just shake his shoulders over the bowl and the food was gone. You just saw him go And it was just gone.
Here we go. This is Nicola from Altrincham. Thank you so much, Nicola. My partner talks to our King Charles Spaniel. It's just King Charles Cavalier. I don't think they're Spaniels. They're just King Charles Cavaliers. My partner, unless you've got the Spaniel one, and I stand corrected. My partner talks to our King Charles Spaniel when airport drug dogs are on the TV. He says, look, you see? They've got a job. What do you do all day? Those are Springer Spaniards, I think, aren't they? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Pull your socks up.
I love that. You see, they seem to find a decent work.
Gainful employment.
Like, talking to them like they're sort of stay abed.
Slacker dogs.
Slacker son. Yeah, right.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gav,
yeah.
You ever felt like buying a mustard-coloured jumper?
When, haven't I?
Yeah, that's a little size busting today, and he really looks like he's about to step on the Cluedo board in the role of the Colonel.
It's a strong, I would say, mid-France mustard.
It is,
or,
yes.
Or a German sausage mustard, rather it than is. An English.
Yeah, a moutarde.
Or a Dijon. Yeah, it is
more of a moutarde.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because whenever I do see the German flag, it does, I just think, I need a hot dog. It's got that sort of ketchup.
It has.
And I don't know what the black on it is, but it's
triggers you.
It triggers
you.
It really makes
you
want it. It really does. Yeah. Okay, Gav, I only said about Colonel Mustard because, guess what, Gav?
What?
That board game. I was just telling you about...
Cluedo.
Yes, that's not about to become a new craze, but chess is.
Chess, okay.
And I wish they'd played Cluedo instead in the Queen's Gambit, as we're now about to get a whole new wave of chess balls.
Yes, we are, yeah.
And it really is nothing duller to hear about.
No, no. Unless more dull than someone describing their golf day.
Yeah, I'd rather... Yeah. Oh, no. No, Gavin. No. No. There's one thing we can be assured. There are no golfers in heaven.
No, there aren't.
God would not risk that.
That's right. And that includes you, Simon, in Littlehampton.
Yes, yes. Well, no, he might make. He's actually quite a good bloke. But broadly, God wouldn't risk an eternity with a golf ball.
Sure.
Anyway, I say it because chess has long been considered the preserve of middle-aged men in corduroy jackets playing matches in drab village halls with coverage confined to specialist magazines. Can I just say, that's not my image of it at all. I just read that in the Telegraph.
Right.
It's such a... It's just making up a stereotype that I didn't even know existed.
No.
I didn't know there was a village hall chess scene.
No, I didn't know
For
that
me,
either.
It's like quite cool people in parks in New York. And,
yeah.
And doing, I don't mind that. I always think it's a sign of a city you're quite, there's quite a reassuring level of communism. You know, when they, do you know what I mean, though? When there's, anyway.
Yes, go on.
What the success of glossy Netflix show The Queen's Gambit
yeah.
has created a resurgence for the game, not seen since the early 70s. That's when I used to play. TV drama The Queen's Gambit sends sales of chess soaring amongst young people. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good for chess because you never, it's one of those things you never know. You might really have that extraordinary talent.
Yeah.
You sometimes wonder, what would those chess prodigies be good at without chess?
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
It's like without computer programming, what would those people be amazing at?
Right.
And it always is one of these things that fascinates me about humans is the scale of this blazer that we'll grow into one day. You know, yeah. like when you're a kid and your mum sends you to school bus, you're a huge blazer.
Yeah.
He'll grow into it. It just, we find something and it turns out we've got this amazing natural talent that was already there. And I just wonder what going ahead into the future, what we haven't invented yet, we've already got an amazing natural talent for.
And we just need to grow into
it. We just need to invent it. Yes, yeah. It's just there. We've all got the growing room. Anyway, Gav, the trouble with chess is it's so dull to be around.
Yeah, it is. It's not a spectator sport.
No, it really is bad. It really is the ultimate two's company.
I mean, and the bar afterwards is probably not that exciting either.
Yeah, but it's more sort of at home. So you must have been locked down with two people and now just, no, we just play chess. And you're just sitting there going, shh.
All you can hear is the clock.
Fine for two, but any more than that, and you just sort of, you're not quite a spectator because it's so slow.
You haven't got a party, is what you're saying.
No, you haven't got a party.
Yeah.
You really haven't got a party. It's a shame that Netflix didn't make that, given how weak people are for these crazes. Peaky Blinders, they wore the hats.
Yes.
Game of Thrones, they buy the husky.
Yeah.
And now they're getting into chess. It's a shame they weren't, it was like Buckaroo, something like that. No, they're just, the Buckaroo...
What a whole generation of Buckaroo experts grows up because of Buckaroo.
I'd love it if Buckaroo was like considered like that's, oh no, chess. I mean, a computer has never beaten a man at Buckaroo.
No, you can get into Harvard on the strength of a strong Buckaroo game.
Gav, it's true, Gav. As you look round for approval,
that's
your racy wordplay. But no one No computer. They've beaten them at Go.
Yeah.
They've beaten chess. No computer's ever beaten a man at Buckaroo.
Nope.
Or Kaplunk.
Or Operation.
Yeah, Operation, Gav.
They haven't done that.
Robots haven't got the finger strength.
They can't do it.
I'd love it if we re-edited the Queen's Gambit and they were playing like Jenga. Yeah, but these are things the humans are great at because they're more than mathematical. They require the human touch.
Yeah. Battleships.
Do you know what I really wish it had been about? Yeah, battleships. No, but yeah. Computers could do that.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
It's
yeah,
a bit random.
It's a grid,
no,
yeah.
No, do you know what I wish they'd come up with? Do you know what I really wish?
What?
It had been about the Queen's Gambit? Twister.
Oh, my God.
If she'd played Twister.
That changes everything.
Yeah, she's the only woman in a male-dominated Twister scene.
She's got savant twisting abilities.
Yes, just unbelievable.
She just knows all the moves.
Yes, she's got ways of going right hand, yellow, left, red, that we haven't even thought of. God, she's done the Sicilian knee in order to get that green. You know, stuff like that.
Radio X.
Gav,
yeah.
Three quick stories, because the story count's been low today. We spent a lot of time with Tipper Kipping Wednesday. Yep. Here we go. First up, there have been cod wars, scallop wars, but never a sausage war. Brexit negotiators are engaged in a standoff over the future of the banger as the prospect grows of a trade ban at the end of the year. Here's the dealio. There's a delicious irony here, because British trade negotiators, they're telling Brussels they intend to use the EU's own rules to exact revenge against them. What it could mean, though, to you and me, well, the big difference to you is that Richmond pork sausages, which are a really great sausage. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they do a skinless sausage, which is perfect if you oven roast them first before you add them to your toad in the hole. Toad in the hole should be made with a skinless pork sausage.
Oh.
Only Richmond do one that's got that kind of fat in.
Yeah.
If I miss out on that, frankly, a once a month cornerstone of my of my diet has gone. So please sort this out, because they're an Irish company. Anyway, watch that space about this, because it could be huge, the sausage war.
Okay.
It's all to do with processed meats.
Right.
Raw meat that's been prepared into something.
Okay, right.
Before it's been cooked. That's the thing, as opposed to ready processed cooked meats like hams.
Yeah.
Second story. The insects that are being used on I'm a Celebrity could represent a real problem in Wales. Someone spotted they were using a cockroach there being poured all over poor old Vernon.
Yeah.
That is not indigenous to the UK.
Right.
Christ knows what they're introducing. If one of those gets out, you never know what the impact could be on the environment.
Very good point. Yeah, what's wrong with a load of midges?
I say napalm strike, take them all out.
Yes.
Last up. Co-op is to roll out an army of 300 robots to deliver groceries to people's doorsteps. They're going to be using pavements. Can I say, I don't know if British pavements are meant for driverless robots.
I don't think they'll manage it.
Sorry,
yeah.
I must have missed this meeting where someone said, yeah, it's fine, just let your driverless robots roam free on the pavements of Britain. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
That strikes me as the sort of thing we need to vote about. Gav, I'm always on the lookout for what could be that that Skynet company. Last week, Dyson. Today, no one likes to read an army of 300 robots is taking groceries to people's doorsteps. I'm sorry.
300 now, 3,000 tomorrow.
Who knows, Gav? Tomorrow, the world.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
So, this is how you start your conversation this evening. You look up from your laptop or your tablet, whatever you're looking at.
Yeah.
As you watch television. Mm. You go, so I see they found Jesus' house then.
What?
They found Jesus' house.
What is actual gaff?
There is now a strong case that a well-preserved first century house excavated at Nazareth was the childhood home of Jesus. What worries me about this is that it's definitely a place in the sun. And I just worry. Suddenly,
she's pop up.
You're going to be there, isn't he?
It's very hot here, but you are near the
monastery. It is a bit hot, and it's a lovely view of the church. Hello, I'm Jasmine Harmon, and I'll be using all my skills to try and sell it. How would they sell that on A Place in the Sun? There might be room here for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to all spend a very nice time. 83936, please. 83936. And a nice little sip of wine with some bread. Rich in Essex, really just genius. He goes, it's a lovely home to have a nice family Christmas. Which is fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
Liam in Stockport saying, it's got a lovely dining area, fits 13.
Nice. Nice. We've also got, if they were selling Jesus' house, they'd definitely have a song in the background. They really would.
Really?
I think so. Like, I don't know, like, it wouldn't be a little town of Bethlehem, because that's only 5 days away by mule, which is what Jasmine would probably say. You want a city break? It's only...
The airport transfer takes 40 days and 40 nights.
Put me in the desert, so watch that one. Make sure you're hydrated.
Hope and plan comes with complete with water cellar.
Someone's saying that Malbec comes out the taps in the shower. He's turned that one. Yeah. Nice conversion. Gav, also, I suppose, I tell you what they would say, what? No doubt about it. They'd definitely say, nice little view of the Sea of Galilee.
So a view of the sea? Hold on, that's 20 miles away at least.
That's never stopped them in the past, Gav, believe me. I've seen some of the views of the sea they've had in a recent Tenerife episode. And
you need military gear to see it.
Yeah, you need like definitely like satellite technology.
A large array telescope.
Yeah, yes, yes, or just satellite technology. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean using a satellite, you can see the sea over through there.
If you go online, you can have a look on Google Earth.
A little bit off the subject, someone's just texted in. I was sort of looking for stuff about the, I mean, I don't mind the subject of booze cropping up into this because it is relevant to Placing the Sun.
Yeah.
But just to close, someone says, hey, TJ, doing a bit of carp fishing. He's got not your Jesus house, just made me laugh. Doing a bit of carp fishing in Shropshire tonight. Just finishing my first box of wine. I'll tell you something. It's bloody cold, but I'll be so drunk soon. Who cares? And that's Pidge. Thanks, Pidge, for keeping us abreast of your activities. Let's move on.
Radio X.
That was our podcast, our 250th podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I leave it all out there. Well, okay then. When I was a boy, I used to polish my boots every day. And I used to say to myself, why are you doing this? What's the point? Well, I can tell you now, after 250 podcasts, I'm a better broadcaster for the discipline instilled in me polishing those boots. Three cheers for the 4 till 7 thing podcast team. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Thank you. And here's to 250 more.
If you've missed any, don't forget you can listen to all 250 on Global Player, the official Radio X app. And if you want to get in touch with any congratulatory emails or gifts, send them to johnny@radiox.co.uk. Radio X.